The scripture reading today is from John chapter 6, verses 26 through 35. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of God for the people of God. Thank you.
Please pray with me and for me this morning. Holy God, we do thank you that we can come to worship you, and I pray this morning that the words that come from my mouth might be honoring and pleasing to you. Lord, that you might speak through me and that you might give us ears to hear what you want us to hear, that our minds might understand it, and that our lives might be transformed by your word, Lord. Amen. So food is a central theme to our family relationships. Food is something that brings us together, that connects us. I want to show you some pictures here. The big family meal. At the family meal where you hear about someone's day, where you hear about what's going on in their lives, their struggles, their excitement, things that they were happy about, things that bring them energy. When you sit around a meal with friends and you find out what's new in your life, what's going on, it's a place where such good happens. Unfortunately, in our culture, things have changed a little bit. Unfortunately, in our culture, often our meals look like this. We don't eat with our family anymore. We're catching something quick. We're catching it on the road. We don't have time to sit down. It might be because our son is in marching band, and that goes until 9 o'clock, and we can't sit down and have a meal together, or because your spouse travels a lot, or because your daughter, or because. There are many reasons why we don't necessarily come together for that meal anymore, for that dinner, but something's lacking. When we miss that time together, we miss that relationship. We miss that connection with one another. We miss the touch-in points with what's going on. Now, Jesus knew that was such a powerful thing to sit around a table and to have a meal together, and we see that in the Last Supper, in the Lord's Supper. When we celebrated last Sunday morning here, and we celebrate on Sunday evenings and on Wednesdays, we come to the table and we're reminded at the table of the meal. We're reminded that at that meal, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke that bread and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Each and every time you have it, remember me." Remember, each and every time you have the bread, remember me. I've had the opportunity for a couple of months now to serve communion to our children down in our Kid Nation time. And one of my favorite things is as we walk through the liturgy of it, we ask questions. We say, "And what does this mean? And what is this?" And one of my favorite things is we'll get to the bread and one of the kids, about 20 of the kids, will raise their hand. And they're so excited, and they say, "That represents Christ's body that was given for me." And some of them can articulate it so well. And it's so wonderful to hear them understand the gift that God has given us. When you have this, each and every time you eat of it, remember me. Now, another example of this we find in our scripture this morning. Verse 31 reminds us about the Israelites who are wandering in the desert. Right? The crowd says, go back to our ancestors. Remember, when they were hungry, you provided for them the manna that came from heaven. You provided food for them. Now, here's the funny thing. I, like the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, when I'm hungry, I get a little grumpy. You ever get that way? They were grumpy, and you read that throughout Scripture, that they were frustrated, and they were grumpy even when they were provided food. They ask for a sign in the Scripture this morning, but see, the people have forgotten what has just happened. The crowd has forgotten. If you go back to the early part of chapter 6, you see that Jesus fed the 5,000. Right? It's just occurred. Jesus took a few loaves of bread and fish and made it into a great meal for them and provided for them. In fact, at that time, it was getting time to have dinner and everybody was kind of getting hungry and probably a little grumpy. And the disciples said, Lord, send them away. Jesus, send them away. We cannot feed them. And Jesus said, no, have them stay here. Get the bread. We will feed them. And there was extra left over. Now, Jesus did this, I believe, because Jesus knows that there's great power in food. There's great power in providing that very basic necessity for people. Food can turn a very grumpy guy into a happy guy. Food can turn a crying child in a restaurant into a quiet child. Food can turn a dying child into a living child. Food is very powerful. Jesus was really intentional about this language, about this metaphor that's used. Jesus said in the prayer, as he taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. This is how we are to pray. Now, knowing that this was so powerful, there was a reason that Jesus gave this to us. Jesus knows a few things. The first thing he knows is that God's bread is power. What I mean by this is that we are taught to pray this way because it means that we can become dependent upon God. We need God for our real sustenance, for the real things that are in our lives. Now, the truth is, in the first century, people were really, really hungry. Food was scarce. They knew, and we read throughout Scripture, about famine and about hunger. So when Jesus said, pray this day for your daily bread, that was a real thing. It was a real need that they had because bread might mean the difference between life or death. Pray to God for bread. Now look, I believe that when Jesus said that, he was talking about bread, but I believe he was talking about so much more. Pray to God for your basic needs. Pray to God and be dependent upon him. Throughout the Bible, the presence of God is revealed over and over again as the bread that comes from heaven, the bread that gives life, Jesus is said to be in verse 33. The bread we're asking for is the presence of God, the bread that might transform us and change us. Now, here's what that is. When we come to God and we ask for that bread is powerful because it gives us strength. It gives us power. It gives us the strength to drive home after we've received a chemo treatment. That bread that comes from God gives us the strength to have a hard conversation with our boss or with our spouse. It gives us the strength to know how to love our children and to care for them. It gives us the money to pay the mortgage when we can't afford it. It is a request for power from God. God, give me the power to stay away from evil. God, give me the power to say the right things. Give me the power to love my neighbor. Give me the power to reveal you to the world. Give me the power to share my faith. It's different things when we come to God and we ask for this power that we might need power for that day. Here's what I know about myself, about many of you, about my friends. We don't like to ask for things. We don't like to admit that we need things. I want to tell you a story about a guy named Luke. Luke's the guy that lives in L.A. Luke got a pretty big job. He was working 70 hours a week. Some of you might connect with this. Working all the time. And he came home one day after 3 months of doing this, and his wife said, "I think you need to take a day off. I think you need to spend time with your family. We just need it." He said, "I can't do that. I need to be there. It's so important that I'm there because this thing that I'm doing is so valuable and so important." And that went on for a few more days, and his wife said, "I really think you need to take a day off." One night after that, he had a dream or some sense, and that came to him. And what the sense was that God was laughing at him. And it really bothered him. Why would God laugh at me? What have I done to make God laugh? I mean, I'm working really hard. And he said he had that sense, honestly, for about 5 years. It went on and on, and it was something tugging at him and bothering at him, and he couldn't figure out what was going on. And then he and his wife moved into a new house, and they had kids at this point. And he actually moved most of the furniture himself. He took a dolly, and he was moving furniture around. But he had saved this huge mahogany desk for last. He didn't want to move that thing. He kept looking at it and saying, "I got to do it, but I don't want to do it." And you know, we procrastinate. We wait for that big thing. It was the very last thing, and he goes to move it, and he's really struggling with it. And his 4-year-old son comes up, and he goes, "Daddy, can I help?" And knowing that it wouldn't help at all, he goes, "Sure, come on and help." So the little boy is just struggling to push the desk. He's struggling really hard. He's giving it everything he has, and his dad's pushing too, and not much is happening. The little boy's grunting and really giving it his all. And finally, the little boy stops, and he looks up at his dad, and he goes, "Dad, could you get out of the way?" The little boy thought that his dad was hindering the process, that his dad couldn't help him. And then Luke says that it hit him. That's exactly what he's been doing for the last 5 years. I can do it all on my own. I don't need God. I don't need power from God. I can handle this. Saying, "Dad, will you get out of the way? Will you step away so that I can do this on my own?" See, we think that if we ask for help, it means that we're weak. Often we believe that if we have needs. Look, folks, Tom read a long list today, and that's a sampling of our congregation, of folks that are sick and that are in the hospital that have needs. Some of you, I know this is spring break, and I see college students with us today. I am finding that more and more, that is one of the most difficult transitions that happens in life. And college students, I tell you, you have need. You have need for dependence upon God, for the power of God. Now look, the crowd that Jesus is speaking to in John chapter 6, they have need too. They have just been fed, right? We learned this back in the early part of chapter 6. They have been fed by a miraculous sign, by an incredible thing, but they come seeking more. We want more food. Give us more. They know that Jesus has something. Jesus tells them very quickly that the food that they're asking for, though, the thing that they're coming for, is temporary. Let's look at verses 26 and 27. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs that I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." See, the problem, Jesus says, is that they're coming for a quick fix. They want their bellies to be filled right then. But Jesus says, seek food that endures. Seek food that will lead to eternal life. And that food is me. N.T. Wright says that God is the most deepest object of our hunger, and we must be fed with God himself. Now, this seems odd, right? To be fed with God himself. But what N.T. Wright means by this is that we must come to the source and come ready to be filled. Come with our hearts open to God. God's food is power. God's bread is power. Here's the second thing. We need power daily. Now, let's talk about this Israelite story a little bit more. Let's go back. The Israelites are wandering in the wilderness. They're walking around. They ask for food, and God gives them manna. It comes down. But God says to them, eat only what you need, because, of course, I'll continue to provide. But what do? They store it up. They gather it, right? They go out, and they, in a sense, they're saying, we don't need God daily, right? We'll get enough today that'll last us for the next few days. They go and they waste time gathering it up for themselves. I want you to see a couple of images here. This is the first one. This is a plant that is desperately in need of a larger pot. The roots have nowhere to go. I understand that when roots hit the air, it's really bad for them. Right? They have nowhere to go. This is a plant that could use some good TLC and that doesn't clearly have someone that's caring for it. Let's look at the second one. Now look at this plant. This is one that's thriving, that's growing, that's deep into the soil, that's receiving good nutrients, and that is becoming what it was designed to be. This large, beautiful bush, this great thing. It has deepened itself. It is connecting. Friends, we too can deepen ourselves, can deepen our faith, can grow, can flourish in our daily dependence upon God, in our prayer, in our meditation, in our scripture reading. Marjorie Thompson writes a book called Soul Feast. And in this book, she says that prayer expresses our daily relationship with God. Our relationship with God, she says, can't be forced, but rather it grows best in the soil of freedom and mutual commitment. The depth and vitality of our relationship with God, like any other relationship, depends on honesty and the frequency of communication. She says that we must come regularly and honestly to God to connect with the holy and living God, and our relationship will grow. It will flourish. It will be like the plant that is deep-rooted in the good soil, the good nutrients, connecting to the source that it needs. Often people say to me, though, Tim, great, you've said prayer is the answer. I need to come and pray before God, but I don't know how to do that. I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't ever know the words to say. Could you just pray for me? Could you do that? And here's what I would say to you. The first thing, our relationship with God is like many other relationships in our lives in the sense that our conversations with God can be just that, a conversation. We can come before the holy God, letting God know what we love about him, just like we do in other relationships, telling God our needs and listening to God as well. All of those things are parts of it. But even with that, some of you might say, yeah, Tim, I sit there and I listen, but I'm still just not getting it. I'm still uncomfortable with that. And I want to offer you something. An ancient practice is that of the divine hours or of the daily prayers. Of the divine prayers, the things, the daily orders that we do multiple times throughout the day. At one time, they were done 6 times a day. And folks would come very, very early in the morning and then mid-morning and then lunchtime and then afternoon and dinner time and nighttime. In our staff meeting the other day, we had a devotion. And someone brought this book, Eastertide. Some of you all might be reading this as your devotion for your prayer life during Lent. And this book by Phyllis Tickle is great because it offers daily prayers, 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night, that you can come and that you can read through and that you can pray through, and that 3 times a day, it walks you through connecting with God. It walks you through asking for your daily prayers. And we have some extra copies of these back in the office as well, if you'd like to pick up one of these. But I tell you that to say it's a great tool. This is not the only one. If you go online and you put in Amazon, Divine Hours, or Daily Prayers, Divine Prayers, it'll tell you that, the daily orders. It'll walk you through the different options of books that you can have. But it's a great way to be reminded and to walk through daily praying. The times in my life when my prayer time has been regular, when it's been consistent, when it's been honest, when it's been open, are the times, friends, that I am thriving. The times when I see great fruit coming from my life. So, God's bread is power. We need it daily. And here's the third thing. To gain power, we must trust the source. A few years ago, it was just after we'd had the twins. Jackson at the point was sometime between 2 and 3. And I decided I was going to take him to the pool. And I was going to teach him that day how to swim in one day. How naive I was. But I started with what I thought would be a very simple and quick thing. Him just jumping to me in the pool. I said, this will be so quick. I'll go down there. I'll stand down there. I'll say jump and he'll jump. And I'll tell you, to get him to jump in the first time took almost an hour. Many of you may relate to this. I stood there on the side of the pool and I was like, come on, buddy. And he really wanted to jump. He wanted to do it so bad, but he was scared. He would get up to the edge and I was like, this time's gonna be it. And he would stand right up there and then he'd back up and come up. And I'd honestly have to get to the point, you may remember this, where you put your hands almost right on him and then he's comfortable jumping. And we get to the end of this hour or so, and frankly, by the end of the day that we were there swimming, he was jumping in almost without me knowing. But it took him trusting that I was going to catch him. It took him trusting that I would be there. He got to the point where he was going down the slide, and I had to make sure I was there, but he trusted me. He trusted the one who was there for him, who promised him that he would be there to catch him. The crowds are struggling in this passage to trust Jesus. It seems too simple. They say, we need a sign. We need to know what we must do. Let's look at verses 28 to 30. Then they ask him, what must we do to do the works God requires? What must we do? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? I can imagine if I were Jesus at this very point, I would be very frustrated. I have just told you. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. I'm the one who just a few short moments ago provided bread for you. Miraculously, I have done it for you. I've given you a sign, and yet you still say, what sign then will you give that we may see it? Jesus makes it very clear that Moses doesn't get the credit for providing the manna, but it is God who has done that. The people don't trust God until Jesus reminds them that the bread that they need is the eternal life that God provides in Jesus. I honestly think part of our human problem is that sometimes we don't trust God. We don't trust that God's going to provide for those basic needs. See, the reality is we've interacted with humans so long that have let us down, and we can't think outside of that relationship box. We'll be let down. When we go to jump, no one will be there to catch us. See, I believe that God's hands are stretched out in the pool, saying, jump. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. Jump to me. I will be there to catch you. Yet often we end up standing on the side of the pool, not enjoying the excitement of what is there. Standing on the side of the pool is powerless, where jumping is power. Jumping into the goodness of God. It can be scary, but it can be so exciting too. God has proven himself. See, the benefit that we have is we know the rest of the story, right? We're here in the season of Lent, and we know that at the end of this, we'll get to the death of Jesus and then the resurrection. We know that Christ has resurrected. He's been resurrected for us. It gives us such hope as we know the rest of that. It gives us hope to become dependent on God, to ask for that daily bread. Friends, we've already received the sign. Christ says, I have been sent for you. John 10:10, one of my favorite verses. The thief comes to kill and steal and destroy, but I have come that you might have life. And that life might be abundant. You might have it to the full. I have come to give you life. The bread of life that Christ offers is abundant. It's powerful. It helps us to live the life that we were designed to live. We were made in the image of God. And God has sent Christ to help us fulfill that image, to help us have such a full, exciting life, coming daily to the throne to kneel, to pray before this God, helps us get power. But we must trust. We should trust. I invite us to trust what Jesus says in John 10:10, that he's come to give us life and life abundantly. When we're really connected to God, when we're so connected to God, I believe that we thrive. We flourish. We grow. We really live. Sometimes when we're hungry, when we haven't eaten a meal or two, we get weak. And the bread, I'm telling you, that comes from God gives us power. It gives us life. Now, here's what I want to say to you. I want to make this really, really clear. It doesn't guarantee us that we won't face trials. It doesn't guarantee us that we won't have challenges. Look, I got to tell you, on that list that Tom read, there's a lot of faithful people. A lot of people that I believe connect with God regularly. But here's what it does tell us. It does tell us that when we go through our daily challenges, when we go through our struggles, when we're faced with those things, Christ is there walking beside us. We are not doing it alone. We're not living in the difficulty of those situations alone without hope. And this is assured to us in verse 35. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Here's what I think Jesus means by that. I will be there for you in your basic needs. I will walk beside you in the difficult times. Come to me daily. I will be with you. I will fill you. We are not in this alone. This gift of sustenance is there and available for us. I love this phrase, "Give us this day our daily bread." It gives me hope. It lets me know that there's a God that I can go to ask daily for bread, for sustenance. I have the opportunity to meet with a lot of people throughout the week in my office. And a couple of folks have come through recently, and one of the phrases that they're using is that it's difficult to get up in the morning. It's difficult to go to work. It's a challenge. But they also say that because of the hope they have in Jesus Christ, they're able to do it. Because of the dependence that they have on a God who has proven himself, they're able to do it. Now, some of you this morning may say, "Wow, Tim, I haven't really felt like that in a long time. I haven't felt connected to the source. I haven't felt like I'm getting the nutrients. I haven't felt connected to God." And what I want to say to you is, we can do that today. We can say today, "Give us this day our daily bread." We can choose today to reconnect with the Almighty God, the God of grace who loves us so much. We can choose this moment right here before we leave to pray and to say, "Maybe God, I need you today just to connect with you. I need you today because I lost my job. I need you today because this is going on with my family. I need you today because you are God. And I don't want to walk through another day without you." So I want to offer a time this morning, a time where we'll just have a minute or two of silence, where you can offer that up. Give us this day our daily bread. God, give us power. Give us power to connect with you. Give us power and remind us of who you are. And then I'll pray at the end. So let us pray. God, we do come before you today to ask for daily bread. This day, I pray this for each of us. Lord, that we might trust in you and that we might come to know you more. Lord, that we might thrive today believing that you came to give us life. You sent your Son to give us life so that we might live it to the full. God, guide us today, and might we find our dependence in you. Amen.